I'm Arun Vanigopal, in for Tanzina Vega. Good to have you with us. And another story for you today. Recently, a viral video emerged of Janae Sky, a woman in Dallas who works as a stripper and who fell from a 15-foot pole. Remarkably, she kept dancing after her fall and later posted a video on Instagram where she revealed she had suffered extensive injuries from the accident.
I pretty much broke my jaw and I have to have surgery on it tomorrow. I broke some teeth. I got a sprained ankle.
She started a GoFundMe page to help pay for medical costs because she, like nearly all strippers, is an independent contractor and not an employee of the club where she performs. This story has brought to light safety issues that strippers face on a daily basis and why the business can be so exploitative for dancers. Let's talk about it. I'm joined by Jacqueline Francis, aka Jack the Stripper, a stripper, an artist, and author who also consulted on the movie Hustlers. Welcome back to The Takeaway, Jack.
Thanks for having me.
Also on the line, we have A.M. Davies, coordinator of Soldiers of Pole, an advocacy organization for strippers in California. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me as well.
A.M., the injuries that Janae Sky faced seem extreme, but is this an industry where physical injuries are common?
Well, physical injuries in such an extreme manner aren't as common, or physical injuries that happen in such a fast moment aren't as common. It's more of long-term injuries that are actually the most common and are prevalent in the industry. We use our bodies constantly for a really long period of time, and so you're more likely to see chronic injuries over time, as opposed to what happened with Janae was it does happen, but it's not something that happens to that extreme often.
So even just the simple act of dancing in high heels for hours on a daily basis must have serious long-term effects, right?
Absolutely, it does, yes.
Jack, Eric Langan, who is the club owner, told TMZ that this was just an accident and that he has no plans to remove the pole. What do you think of his response?
Well, I don't know that it's necessary to remove the pole. I don't know if that's enough of a response. So I think that club owners should be more gracious and appreciative of the people who pay their mortgages. If there's no strippers in your club and no entertainers, you're just a bar and no one's going to show up. So I think people should, just be a little bit more thoughtful. And if you're going to classify us as independent contractors, honor that. It's not honored. And where we see employee status, it's also kind of exploitative too. AM is working on that with Soldiers of Pole, but there's so much that can be done, and dialogue with club owners would be great, because it's great that they actually responded to TMZ, but club owners don't tend to respond to any grievances by dancers.
So when you say honor that, what does that mean in this context?
Holding up your end of the contract. You know that I've been a dancer for 10 years, and I've worked with maybe 20, 25 clubs, and I have ever been able to take home a contract one time. They keep the contracts. They don't let you photograph them. You can sneak a photo, but they don't want you looking at the contract you're signing, never mind having a copy of it, because they're heinous.
does acting as an independent contractor, is that something a lot of dancers prefer?
That's a good question. Everyone has a different idea of what they want. I think AM can really speak to what's happening in California, because there's been a recent shift and people have more stronger opinions about what they want. I have never been an employee as a stripper. I've always been an independent contractor. It hasn't been great, but it's just what it has been.
Yeah, absolutely. The fact of the matter is that every stripper across the United States technically is an employee. We're being misclassified and we're being illegally misclassified, which is why they don't want us to see the contracts. They don't want lawyers looking at our contracts. And in some cases in the clubs here, if you're asking to see a contract or have a lawyer look at it, you'll be asked to go home. So it's either sign this contract or don't work. As far as dancers wanting to be an independent contractor versus an employee, there's so many misconceptions around that concept. So it's really difficult to even get a proper consensus, because most dancers don't even know really what the true difference is, because they've been getting lied to by club owners and managers for decades now. And so because the waters are so muddy, that's a really difficult question to properly answer, because there needs to be more education around the subject.
When you said that so many dancers are misclassified, can you walk us through the distinction?
Yeah, absolutely. So as an independent contractor, you're supposed to set your own hours. You come and go as you please. You bring your own tools. As an independent contractor, you're not the sole purpose of that business. So the reason why dancers are being classified as employees is because as part of the law, whatever the workers are doing that makes the business what it is, then they should be classified as employees. And since, like Jacqueline said, without the strippers, you have no strip club. Well, then they definitely should be classified as employees. And as employees, they get more rights. They get benefits to help with things like what we were talking about with chronic injuries. You get disability. You get workers' compensation when you fall 15 feet off of a pole. As an independent contractor, you get absolutely none of those benefits and you get absolutely no rights. You can't negotiate any of your terms. You can't even talk about any of your grievances on the job as an independent contractor.
Now, when we see, I guess, legal fights happening in other areas, say with rideshare industry, in terms of this conversation about who is a contractor and who's employee, are these things sort of moving this ball forward when it comes to strippers as well?
So if you're speaking specifically about the AB 5 bill that was passed, yes, that directly affects strippers and a lot of gig workers here in California, including translators. And so in the media, everyone's talking about Uber and Lyft because that's what we all use on a regular basis. But the translator industry and the strip club industry is being greatly affected by the new laws that have been passed here. You know, the way the dancers are being treated now is like you make a schedule and you adhere to that schedule. And if you don't show up or you call out, they're getting punished, they're getting charged late fees. And that's just not something that happens to an independent contractor. So even though they're misclassifying the dancers, they're still violating independent contractor, like typical agreements.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say that in New York City, as an independent contractor, we are told to work for 8 hours minimum, to stay at the club for 8 hours. It's really hard to sparkle and be engaging and interested in people and to look hot for 8 hours in 7-inch shoes where everyone's power drinking. It's really challenging. It's really hard work, and we need to just be more respectful of the people who are doing this work. Everybody has to work, and judging people for the kind of work they do is classist, and you should really check that if that's what you're focused on, is the kind of work she's doing rather than the injuries that she's sustained from this, like, extraordinary fall, because she's really talented and an incredible performer. She takes huge risks. We're not saying this about when something happens at Cirque du Soleil. We need to be more respectful and cool about how other people are surviving under capitalism, because we all know that it's not easy.
Jack, when we see the response to this incident with Janae Sky, a lot of dismissive sort of responses on social media, certainly a lot of misogynistic ones. You can't really remove gender, obviously, from this. Is not simply a labor issue. This has very much to do with women in an industry where they're not necessarily in control of the terms of their contracts, right?
I mean, women are in control of their own body. Like, stripping is great because when I first started, I was like, this is my body. This is all I need. Stripping is the most ethical kind of work I've ever done, okay? I show up, the less clothing, the less things I have on my body, the better. There's no waste. There's no takeout container from getting a lap dance, you know? And the work is just terrifying to people that women could possibly survive by just existing and charging for their time and their energy and their sparkle and their sensuality. And it makes people so uncomfortable and so furious. But really, if it's not your body, it's not your business. If you're not paying for her labor, if you're not paying for that lap dance and you're not giving that lap dance, what is it to you? Why does that matter? So I think that we should really just honor the fact that these women are athletes and working extraordinarily hard and huge risks.
A.M. Davies is coordinator of Soldiers of Pole, an advocacy organization for strippers in California, and Jacqueline Francis, a.k.a. Jack the Stripper, who is a stripper, an artist, and author, and consulted on the recent movie Hustlers. Thanks to you both for joining me.
Thank you so much.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.